Everybody pick up your hymnals and let's turn to page number 59. Page 59. While traveling through this world of sorrow, this morning, but y'all are sounding real good, so just keep it up, sing a little louder.
Every drop. morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be here in the house of the Lord. We had a little bit of rain and a little bit of wind, and if you looked outside after all that, the leaves were everywhere. So the trees are pretty much bare, and it really does feel like Thanksgiving along about now. And I love this holiday. We should have this one every day. I hope that you do. I have so many things to be thankful for. It's good to be here this morning with you, and welcome our visitors into our service. Please just take part and be a part of us. We have a lot out traveling, some out for sickness, and also some out because of some deaths in the family. We'll get to our prayer request list in here in just a minute. We do have a lot of stuff coming up, and so it's busy. We've been giving you fair warning, so grab a hold. Here we go. All right, this morning, second time the plate is passed, will be for a youth offering. Youth Fund is, it's done a lot of stuff, but it sends our kids to on trips and things like that. It feeds them on Wednesday night. It just does a lot of stuff. As Brother Russ told us this morning, it also was able to give to a scholarship fund for a student from Fountain Lake area last year. We are glad we're able to take a part in that. So when the plate's passed around the second time, keep that in mind. Thanksgiving baskets will be delivered this afternoon at 3. So hopefully everybody brought food they signed up for. We'll take a look at it here in a little bit. If not, I guess we'll have to run to the store. But if you've been in the fellowship hall, there is a bunch of food over there. So I appreciate the effort. I appreciate your giving heart. And there will be many folk that will have a better Thanksgiving because of you. And I appreciate you very much. All right. Y'all listen closely. This week, our midweek service will be on Tuesday. So if you don't come Tuesday and you come Wednesday, we won't be here. Some of us won't. So keep that in mind. All right. Next Sunday morning, December the 1st, will be our building fund offering. Building fund does a lot of things. So it's a busy fund. It remodels. We add to, build things here at the church. So it's done a lot in the last year or so. We've got some stuff coming up. I think Brother Sam said if nothing happens, they're supposed to have Dozier here in the morning to start clearing our land back here. So if there's no problems, which we all know how that works, but tell Kevin not to have a problem. just kidding. Next Sunday when we get here, we'll be able to see a lot more back here. So I'm looking forward to that. So some ideas and some things coming up pertaining to that land back there. So next Sunday evening, in our evening service at 6:00, will be our business meeting. So I encourage everybody to plan on being at the business meeting. You really, really understand exactly what all's going on when you partake in the business meeting, because it's all laid out there and things are discussed coming out and nothing is hidden. It's all there. I encourage you to come. Tuesday, December the 3rd, will be the Lord's Supper at 6:00, prepared by Miss Linda Bibbs. Sunday, December 15th, will be our Christmas dinner. So the church will furnish a ham, and we'll all bring whatever we bring, and we'll eat it. And then we'll eat it some more, and we'll go home miserable, probably. That'll be at 4:00. It'll be a good time for food and fellowship. So I encourage you to come. Bring someone with you. We'd be glad to have them. Wednesday, December the 18th, will be our youth Christmas party and Cindy's anniversary party. And maybe she'll let me be a part. She said if I'm good, maybe. Uh-oh. I'll just crash it. How's that? So we'll keep that in mind. All right, no services Wednesday, December the 25th or January the 1st. So You might want to grab a bulletin if you didn't get one, because there's a lot on here. It's hard to keep up with everything. Sunday evening, December the 29th, we'll be singing in fellowship. So we'll gather again that evening, eat and sing. Sing and then eat, right? Because if we eat first, we won't be able to sing.
That way I can keep a captive audience if they want to eat.
Okay. So once again, bring someone with you. Invite a friend. Nursery attendance this morning, Sam and Donna Johnson. Next Sunday, Michelle and Holly. Anything else that needs to go on there? It's a lot coming up in about a week and a month and a week, 5 weeks, so it's going to be busy. It's a good time, though. Wonderful time to be. Anything else? Any other announcements?
Page number 38.
Great my disappointments, right in discontentment, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, major need depression, I'm standing on the solid.
Everybody out this morning. Amen. Can't think of a better place to be than right here at Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church. Best church in the country. Amen. If you want to come to see a bunch of people with smiles on their faces like I get to see on Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night, just show up here, because we've got them. Amen. We're going to do a song for you this morning. We've done it before, but that's okay. We're going to do it again. I never shall forget the day.
And he gladly set me free. My
I was asked to do a special this morning, and I hadn't really prepared. Jerry Standridge always gets me into this stuff. And so I was looking through the choir book, and I found an old song that that everybody knows. So if you want to sing along, sing along. It's not going to bother me in the least. It's a beautiful old song, and it really hits home to what we believe in our Christian walk. Because we serve a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And that's what the title of this song is. It's What a Savior.
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. God sent from heaven a loving Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his lifeblood for even me. Death's chilly waters I'll soon be crossing. His hand will lead me safe o'er. I'll join the chorus in that great city, and I'll sing up there forevermore. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his lifeblood for even me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred, his side was riven. He gave his lifeblood for even me.
Thank you, Gene and Gail, for that. Thank you, Jerry, for twisting his arm. Beautiful song. I love that song. And after all, you know, this Thanksgiving holiday season, that's what we have most to be thankful for, is that blood. Y'all have been around me for a few years now, and so y'all know that this Thanksgiving season is my favorite holiday. I love Christmas because of what Jesus did coming here and down off this lofty throne and being born of the Virgin Mary and all that stuff. I do appreciate that so much, because without that we would have no hope. But it's so commercialized that I just love Thanksgiving, because it's just a time to stop and reflect and give thanks to God, which we should do every day because of the blessing. We here at Oak Hill have so much to be thankful for. I don't know, but you know, it seems like I've talked about this a little bit in the past, but we live in the history of now, and our history is being changed every day, seems like, as we speak. And this really hit home to me about 7-8 years ago, along about Thanksgiving. I sat down and got on my trusty little iPad and Googled up Thanksgiving. And as I was reading the history of Thanksgiving, I got to noticing some things that were different in what I was reading on the internet than what I was taught in school. And so I did some more digging, and I even went back and got back some of the old encyclopedias back from, Cindy still keeps them, we still have them, and looked up Thanksgiving, and I challenge you to do that. Just pull up Thanksgiving now and then go back to maybe the 70s and read the history of Thanksgiving. You'll be surprised what all has been changed. It's really sad because our history is really who we are. The journey that we travel to get to here makes us who we are. We say often, and we believe wholeheartedly, that this journey that we're on now is what makes us who God wants us to be when we spend eternity with Him. So good times and bad, hard times and times of plenty really does make us who we are. I've got a little bit of history here I want to read you, and I'll try not to bore you too much. I love the history, and I love the things that lead up to where we're at, and everything that I look at in the history of our world and of our nation, I see God's hand at work. And as I read some of this, I believe that you'll see it as well. Some of this wording is kind of, pay attention to the wording. The first recognized Thanksgiving was held by the Pilgrims in 1621. The feast lasted 3 days. It was attended by 53 pilgrims and 90 Indians. The New England colonies were regularly accustomed to celebrating days of Thanksgiving. They were days of prayer and giving thanks to God for His blessing and sometimes victory in battle. If you remember back then, this was a pretty savage land, and a lot of battles were fought to colonize this great nation that we have now. Many times they would just stop. They didn't have just one day, but they would stop after the end of a drought maybe and give thanks to God for the rain that He had sent so that they could survive another year. I think a lot of times in our culture we think that, oh, well, it's okay, we can run to Walmart. Back then, their Walmart was out in the field, and if they didn't grow it and put it up, preserve it, there were a lot of lean months in the wintertime if they didn't do that. We've lost a lot of our heritage. You know, I can remember back even when I was a kid when we would have hog slaughtering days, and we would get together and the family would come together and we'd kill hogs and butcher them out and hang them up in the old smokehouse. The old smokehouse was literally just an old pole shed, and it had racks and things in there that you would lay the hams and stuff on and the bacon and cover them with sugar or salt or either or, and then hang stuff from the rafters, and kept a little bitty hickory fire in the middle of that thing for weeks, and it was a cold smoke, but it was a curing process. And I remember those days with great fondness. Spent the whole year preparing to put that up so that they could eat through the lean times. That's what the pilgrims looked forward to as well. the convenience of our day, I think, has taken a lot from the things that we really should be thankful for. Del Monte does it for us now. Instead of having to pick the green beans and can them. And it was a hard, hot job, but it was family time. The first documented Thanksgiving was celebrated by the Spaniards here in the 1500s in a territory that later became part of the U.S. Thanksgiving service was routinely held in what was to become the Commonwealth of Virginia as early as 1607, with the first permanent settlement of Jamestown holding a Thanksgiving service in 1610. The modern Thanksgiving holiday traces its origins from a celebration at Plymouth Plantation when the Plymouth settlers held a harvest feast after a successful growing season. This was continued first as a religious observance, which they had gathered together to thank God, and later became more of a civil tradition. And that's a lot of what we celebrate today is the civil aspect. I pray, and my prayer is that we never lose sight of the fact that the Thanksgiving that we have really do belong to God. Don't ever forget that. Squanto, if you go back and you read the old history, you'll see that he was a Pentuxet Indian, a member of the, I'll get this wrong, Wampanoag tribe, I can't say it right, taught the pilgrims how to fish and grow corn. He also served as their interpreter. Now, you think that God's not in control of all this? I want to tell you just a little bit about him. Squanto was captured, carried across the ocean to Europe, made a slave. While he was enslaved in Europe, he was taught the English language. As the years passed and as his life was, he wound up escaping and making his way back across the ocean to America. And so he acted as translator between the pilgrims and the Indians here when the pilgrims first landed. So gives me chill bumps to see that his journey, I believe, that was God taking care of the early settlers here in America. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in God's providence. That feast at that Thanksgiving lasted 3 days with the pilgrims and the Indians fellowshipping together. They were, the pilgrims, very thankful for the help and the friendship of their Indian brothers. Thanks be to God. Through willing Indians, they survived their first harsh winter here before they had opportunity to lay up and set aside provisions. Oh, by the way, those Indians were called savages by many. I would submit to you that they probably had a better understanding of love than many of the people that live in the world today, that given spirit. During the American Revolutionary War, Congress made one or more, depending on, I guess, how they felt, and maybe battles going good or bad, but they gave days of Thanksgiving each year. Not really a set day, but they were encouraging all the states to recognize the day of Thanksgiving. Keep in mind, they were fighting and dying for the freedom of this nation when they were setting aside these days of Thanksgiving. The first national proclamation of Thanksgiving was given by the Continental Congress in 1777. And it was given from a temporary location in York, Pennsylvania. Delegate Samuel Adams created the first draft. In the middle of the Civil War, and if you're familiar with history at all, the Civil War was the bloodiest war ever in the history of mankind, as far as I'm aware. We lost more Americans during that Civil War than we have in all other wars fought, added together. It was a terrible time for this nation. But President Abraham Lincoln, prompted by a series of articles written by Sarah Josephia Hale, proclaimed a National Thanksgiving Day to be celebrated on the last Thursday of November, 1863. In December 1941, 70-some-odd years later, Congress passed a joint resolution that the fourth Thursday of November be observed as Thanksgiving Day, and that's what we still observe to this day. John F. Kennedy said, "As we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live them." Do we show our thanks? G.B. Stern said, "Silent gratitude isn't much use to anyone." George Hendricks said, "True thanksgiving means we are to thank God for what he has done for us, not to tell him what we have done for him." Think about that one for a minute. I hope and pray that today, as we prepare for our National Thanksgiving holiday, that we really remember that what we have most to be thankful for in this life is what God has done for us by sending his son Jesus. He's done this for us as individuals. He saw to the forming of our nation. I remember back to Squanto that God works way in advance for the things that he has in plan. We have so many things to be thankful for. Psalms 100 and verse 4, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." As we look around in the world today and in America, we see many distraught with the things that are going on, world events, national politics, if you will, personal hardships, sicknesses. If you remember just back a little while ago when we were offering up our prayer requests, there are many. Listen to the scriptures again. "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." Did you come here this morning with thanks in your heart for what God has done for us? Enter his doors. Come into his house with thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place." Many in the world today are searching for something. And they're looking in the wrong places. But they're looking for something to be thankful for. There are many people that are going through hardships, some of which we as a group will never know. Our prayer is that you know that our prayers are with you, and that we welcome the opportunity to share your burden with you. As Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We are here as a family together, and we give thanks to God for his blessing. Many, though, are looking in the wrong place, and it leads them down dark paths. And our prayer is that they find the true light, which only comes from knowing a true and risen Savior. What did Jesus do for us? Well, he paid a debt that he didn't owe, because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. That's what Jesus did. That's what we should be most thankful for. None of us are worthy without the blood of Jesus. Not one of us. Romans 3:23, one of those verses that probably everybody could quote by heart. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're not worthy except by the blood of Jesus Christ." Those pilgrims knew where their blessings came from. America, let us not forget where our blessings came from and who to give thanks to. Those pilgrims, they traveled across the broad ocean. They left everything that they knew, all of their family, for an opportunity to come to a new land where they could face hardships, but where they could worship God in spirit and truth without having the government breathing down their neck and telling them how they should assemble, what they should believe. Look at where we are now, some 400 years later. My preacher, this nation's not 400 years old. Well, it's not. But the people came across in the early 1600s. If you do the math, that's 400 years ago. God is in control, even back then. God has really blessed us as a nation, as individuals, and as a church. How thankful are we? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You may be going through a hard time. You may have things in your life that seems like will never go away or you'll never get relief from. And let me tell you something, friend. Give thanks for the hard times along with thanks for the good times, because that's God making us who He wants us to be, to spend eternity with Him. The Word tells us to rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This morning, I'm going to do something just a little bit different. I want to give you an opportunity to tell what you're thankful for, but I want to start because I have more to be thankful for than anybody. First, I'm thankful to God for sending Jesus Christ to die on that cross. He sent the very best He had for me, who am least worthy. I'm thankful that my mom and dad love me enough to not only take me to church, but to teach me about Jesus. And I'm thankful that God gave me this wonderful woman to share my life with. And she's, besides Jesus, the best thing that ever happened to me. Thankful for children who are faithful in church and raising their kids to know Jesus. What a blessing. I'm thankful that He called me to preach, allowed me the opportunity to stand before good people like you and tell them about Jesus Christ, but not only that, but to also tell them how He's blessed me in so many ways. I'm thankful to be a small part of this church. Y'all are the best. I don't know how else to say it. It's a blessing from God. I could go on for hours because I have so much to be thankful for. God is truly good. My prayer for you, each and every one of you, is that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you would come to know Him before it's too late. But also my prayer for you as I look back over this crowd, if you know Jesus Christ and you're going through hard times, He loves you and He'll see you through. I want you to know that this church is your family, that we're all in this together. I want you to know that we love you, all of us. Thankful for our history. Thankful for being able to be a part of making new history. Let us never forget where we came from or why we're here. I want to ask Gene and Linda Gale to come. I want a song. If there's any need, I'll be here. But this morning, we give thanks for another member that God has blessed us with. And so, Cody, we got your letter. And so if you'll come forth, we're going to give you right-handed church fellowship. And if you're not a member of this church and want to hug his neck in Christian fellowship, please. Hey, can you tell we like a hug around here?
Page
love you, brother.
Four.
Glad to have you here.
Page number four.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know.
$2.
It's you.